You know, I have to say I've heard this nativity story so many times. I've preached on it for so many years that quite frankly, as I read it and to prepare for tonight, you know, I basically skimmed through it. You know, I read the first and second readings and the psalm kind of attentively. And when I got to the gospel, I was like, governor, census, inn, birth, shepherds, angel. Okay. All right. And what do I want to say about this? What do I want to say this year? This year with all the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in, with people who are really despairing. You know, and here it is. I've heard this story 1,000 times. And it's, you know, it's sort of like a mom and dad reading Green Eggs and Ham or something to their kids. Oh my goodness, here we go again. And I asked myself, what is new here? As I skim through this familiar story of the birth of Jesus, because I know it already. And the first line from the psalm that we just heard says, sing to the Lord a new song. And that's exactly what I want, a new song, a new message. This year, we're so exhausted, so tired of all this stuff. Aren't we ready for something different? Don't we deserve something new? And I'm not talking about any new strain of COVID coming out of Britain. I want a new song. Like the psalm says, I want something that will make it so that we sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, and tell of his salvation from day to day. But we have the scripture that we have. There's no new gospel going to be written. We have the nativity story that we have. Because it is what happened. It is what happened while Quirinius was governor of Syria and Augustus was emperor. It is the story of the birth of the Messiah. So how do we find a new song there? You know, I'm not a parent, but every parent remembers that, you know, that time in your child's life when they were a toddler, when you would read their favorite story and you had to read it all the way through. You couldn't skip a page. You couldn't even skip a line. And if you change something up, they'd call you on it in an instant. They know that story so well that it may even seem as if your three-year-old can read it herself. And in your head, yeah, you know in your head it isn't true, but it's like an illusion. It sure seems like it as they follow along. And the thing is, your toddler wanted to hear that same story over and over again. The familiarity is so comforting to them. And they're filled with wonder and joy every time, as if they're hearing the story for the very first time. It's a new song every time. And man, do I want that. You know, give me a double helping of toddler wonder and excitement and joy, especially this year. I won't be cooking a whole turkey this year. There's no sense to it when it's just my mom and me. And, you know, so that means no leftovers. But boy, I could go for a second helping of wonder and joy. And there are some days when I just settle for the scraps of wonder and joy that fall from the table. So how do we find that toddler wonder and joy? And if you're new with us, if it's your first time joining with us, it's your first time hearing that Christmas story, thank you. Thank you so much for joining with us, and God bless you. And I truly hope that you're finding beauty and joy in our celebration tonight. And if you're a longtime churchgoer, how do you find comfort in hearing this amazing story for the I don't know how many, manyth time? How do you restore that childlike wonder and joy at hearing your favorite story? Not simply remembered like from when you were a kid, but how do you hear that story and make it present to you? Make it real for you here and now. As I was thinking, how do I do this for myself? I began thinking back on the last time. You know, I'm trying to rack my brain. When was the last time you felt wonder and joy at the story of the birth of Jesus? You know, and immediately what came to mind is something from 25 years ago. Now, that wasn't maybe the last time that I felt it, but it was perhaps the most vivid memory of experiencing this nativity story anew. I was 25 and in, you know, full jaded 20-something mode. And I was, you know, more or less, I guess at that point, kind of directionless. And so I reluctantly decided to go on a retreat that someone invited me to. And in that retreat, they introduced me to what was, for me anyway, a new form of prayer, where we were asked to use our imagination to visualize and place ourselves in the scene from the gospel, some scene from the life of Jesus. And they asked us to imagine being part of it. And they asked us to use this nativity story to place ourselves there. And there wasn't much else in terms of direction. Just imagine yourself part of it. You can imagine yourself a central character, a bystander, an animal in the manger, whatever. Just place yourself there. I'm a little skeptical about this, but I give it a try. And so I read this story, and I read it very slowly. And then I start to sort of daydream about it. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I began to imagine myself as one of the shepherds out in this darkness of the night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. In the dead of the night, in the dark fields and hillsides, terrified, that was easy for me to imagine. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." I imagine myself not getting it, not really understanding what that meant. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Why a sign for me? I'm not important, just a shepherd no one cares about. Why is this sign for me? And suddenly there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." And I started to imagine them singing, you know, singing in an excelsis Deo. I mean, it's like, and I know it's Latin and these shepherds didn't speak Latin, but you know, whatever, it's my daydream. But I still imagine not understanding what was going on, what all this was about. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." I wasn't so keen because, you know, I'm still a little confused by all this, and I'll go because everyone else is going, but I'm still afraid of all this. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And from this point, I imagine myself standing a little ways back, wanting to see this baby, wanting to see if all this is true, but I'm still keeping a step or two back. And then I can see, you know, Joseph being more than a little apprehensive and wanting to protect Mary and Jesus from these intruders, these dirty, smelly shepherds. And I see Mary taking her child. Despite Joseph's hovering, handing the baby to me. I'm reluctant, still afraid, really, really nervous. But she looks at me and she says, "Go on, take him, hold him." And then I'm holding God. I'm holding the creator of the universe, and he's placed himself in my hands. And at that moment, I hear the angel say again, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." This is for me. This Christ child is for me. And this is for you. The Savior is for you. The sign was that he was born 2,000 years ago in a manger, but the event is for you right here and right now. God has broken through. He's broken through time and space. He's broken through our defenses, our sin, our jadedness, our self-centeredness. He's broken through all of the stress and the fear and the anxiety and the heartache and all the burdens that you carry. And he has become a small, helpless child for you. This Christmas, this horrible, isolating, volatile year that has brought a generalized, undirected anxiety and plenty, plenty of fear. This Christmas, Christ is born for you. The angel is saying to you, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy. I am bringing you good news of great joy." And what is that good news? Yes, it is that a Savior is born. Yes, it's that a long-awaited Messiah is here. But you know, that sounds like a superhero. And I don't need a superhero. I've got all the scientists working on a vaccine, the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare workers. Those are my superheroes right now. At its core, the good news is that God has become one of us. It's that he cares about me and he cares so, so deeply about you. It's that God didn't just create the world and leave us to fend for ourselves in this imperfect, you know, uncertain, this valley of tears, as one familiar Catholic prayer puts it. No. God created the world, and he created you. He created you, his unfinished masterpiece. But then he comes into the world to become just like you. He doesn't leave you to fend for yourself. He's here to show you the way to be able to find joy today, to find peace today, to find healing in our broken world today, and to have hope today of life with him. The answer to the prayer for those of us in that valley of tears, in that prayer, the answer is asking Mary to show us the fruit of her womb, Jesus. The birth of Jesus is the answer to all our longings and our prayers. His birth is for you today. And he asks you, if you will hold him, if you will follow him, it's entirely in your hands. He is entirely in your hands. What do you want to do?